It was the spring of 1863, and President Abraham Lincoln faced a chorus of critics after two grueling years of civil war. While Union and Confederate forces fought, the Northern public was becoming increasingly restless. If the North, with a larger army and greater industrial resources, had believed in 1861 they would win the war quickly, by 1863, what was becoming known as Mr. Lincoln's War struggled on with no end in sight. Within the North, a movement arose that wanted to preserve the Union as it was, that is, with slavery. A faction of the Democratic Party, known as Peace Democrats or Copperheads, advocated a restoration of the Union through a negotiated settlement with the South. In their protests, they fulminated against Lincoln, charging that he was a tyrannical despot and the war a means to enlarge presidential power. That spring, rallies in northern cities complained of Lincoln's handling of the arrest and trial of Clement Van Landingham, a prominent Ohio Copperhead leader. Shortly after a rowdy protest meeting on May 16 in Albany, New York, Lincoln received the Albany Resolves, 10 resolutions demanding the president maintain the rights of states and the liberties of the citizen. As Lincoln began to compose a reply to the protesters, Iowa Congressman James F. Wilson entered the president's office. Observing Lincoln writing at his desk, Wilson expressed his admiration that the president could compose yet another of his eloquent letters from scratch, especially at this moment of heightened anxiety. Lincoln demurred. "I had it nearly all there," he said, pointing to an open desk drawer. "It was in disconnected thoughts, which I had jotted down from time to time on separate scraps of paper. The president explained this was the way he saved my best thoughts on the subject. He told Wilson, I never let one of those ideas escape me." Lincoln did not want his best thoughts to escape him, but across the years they have escaped us. Over his lifetime, Lincoln wrote countless private notes for his eyes only, scribbled words to capture ideas and insights about the myriad problems and issues he faced. Never expecting anyone else to read them, he left them undated, untitled, and unsigned. While questions remain as to the dates of some of the notes, the identity of their author was never in doubt. We know they all came from Lincoln because of his easily identifiable penmanship, clear and angular in his younger years, then over time gradually smaller and more rounded. We also know that he himself thought these notes were important. On August 6, 1860, in the midst of that year's presidential campaign, Republican candidate Lincoln sent David Davis, his campaign manager, a fragment he had written 13 years earlier. In 1847, while preparing to take his seat as a Whig in the 30th Congress, Lincoln set down his thoughts on tariffs and protections on 11 foolscap half sheets of paper. Now, with economic protectionism a plank in the 1860 Republican platform, he stuffed the pages in a large envelope and mailed it to Davis, with instructions to share them only with Pennsylvania Senator Simon Cameron. The first Republican candidate for president, John C. Fremont, had lost Pennsylvania in 1856, and Lincoln was determined to win the Keystone State in 1860. In this action, we can see how valuable these notes must have been to Lincoln. They served as repositories for his most important insights. Despite this, his private reflections have been mostly overlooked by scholars and general readers alike. Perhaps this is due to their scattershot configuration. In print, they are spread across massive, multi-volume collections of Lincoln's writings. To see them in person is to visit university libraries, the Abraham Lincoln Library in Springfield, Illinois, and an historical collection in the library of a private home. Engaging with these notes is like entering a world even most history buffs do not know exists. While generations of historians and biographers have written about Lincoln's formal speeches and letters, this book is the first to gather and examine these highly personal scraps of writing, and in doing so to ask, is there anything new they can tell us about the notoriously private president?